Doctors are supposed to be the ones who treat people. They're not the ones we think about needing to get treatment. But that's not always the case. Our next guest is a doctor's doctor, a specialist in mental health devoted to identifying signs of suicide that are unique to doctors. Michael Myers is professor of clinical psychology at SUNY Downstate in the Medical Center in New York. And his new book, When Physicians Die by Suicide, he takes a closer look at the issue of doctors who die by suicide. I spoke with him more about why this happens and how asking for help can be even more difficult for a doctor.
We're much more comfortable looking after others than being patients ourselves. And the research I did for this book, which was interviewing close to 100 families and loved ones of doctors who have died by suicide, really drove that home. In 10 to 15% of the cases, their physician loved one received absolutely no treatment at all. They wouldn't go to a primary care physician, to a psychiatrist, to a psychologist, to the clergy, no one. There's a lot of reasons for that. The bottom line is, though, it's very hard for physicians to kind of give up that role of being the healer and actually recognizing, you know what, I'm not feeling well myself. I need to go get some professional help.
Do you think doctors are more susceptible to suicide and the conditions that can lead to it than others?
What we know from research is that male physicians have 150% higher rate of suicide than men in general, whereas women doctors have about a 200 to 300% higher rate of suicide compared to women in general. And so it's to that point. We know that the rates of depression in doctors are probably about the same as in the general public, and the same way with alcohol and other drug use too. But where the catch is that too many doctors are really dying of untreated illnesses. So in other words, what my hope is that if more physicians, when they're not feeling well, get what I call life-saving help, that will really reduce the number of doctors who make that terrible and drastic decision each year. And by the way, we lose approximately a doctor a day to suicide in the United States.
Wow. And why do you think that is? I mean, obviously, it's a really high-stress job. Does it have to do with the type of people who go into this field?
Yeah, it's felt to be a combination of factors. And the bottom line with suicide is that it's never just one factor. And it's knowing that there's what's called a perfect storm of factors coming together at once that kind of prey on the person, and they get very bombarded and see no way out except to escape the mental pain. Because it's felt that suicide really isn't always a wish to die. It's a wish to escape from the horror going on in their mind. Now, in physicians in particular, it's not just, as I say, that we have trouble becoming patients. There's a lot of stigma associated with psychiatric illness. First of all, as you know, it's in the general public, but it's in the house of medicine as well. It's very quickly doctors can feel less than, or that they don't fit in. Medicine is competitive. We tend to be perfectionistic. You know, physicians drive themselves hard, so it's not easy for them to accept that, you know, I'm not feeling well.
Yeah. So I wonder, in your experience, is it difficult for doctors to ask for help to begin with?
Yeah, it's difficult to ask for help. And the other thing that concerns me is that I feel those of us who are in the mental health field, I think it's incumbent upon us to be very, very welcoming and to be non-judgmental. And you want to both be kind, but extremely thorough. Because the examples are legion of doctors who have fallen through the cracks because there's been the assumption made, well, you know, she's a psychiatrist, you know, I can skip this, I can skip that part of the examination, I can trust her, when really sometimes we can't.
Right. So it sounds like you, as a doctor who treats these doctors, can flag a lot of these things. But what do you think can be done in the larger society to get better at flagging these issues among our providers?
One of the sections I put in the book actually is, what can you do? Because I interviewed some people who had lost their doctor to suicide. A few of those individuals had actually become worried about their doctor, but yet didn't say anything because they didn't know if it was their place. So I've really recommended that we all have a role to play in this. So if you're concerned about your physician, say something. What's the worst thing that can happen? The burnout rates in doctors are very high. They're at least 50%. And I think we need to look at why is the practice of medicine so much more stressful today than it was was, say, 25 years ago.
In the way the system exists now, are there repercussions to a doctor when they try to get treatment for things like this?
Yeah, there's not just that, because that's what the fears are. For instance, with regard to medical licensing, what we're attempting to do is to make medical licensing renewals, as well as applications for a medical license, to make them as user-friendly as possible, meaning that you wouldn't have to actually declare if you had been depressed before but sought some treatment, things like that. We want them to ask questions about current conditions that could be affecting their safety and competence. And that's acceptable because, as you know, we work with the public, and the public has to feel safe with their physicians. But, you know, somebody who's well and has never maybe missed work anyway, but they were, you know, unwell, we don't want them to feel intimidated by those questions, and we don't want them to avoid getting help if they're afraid that it's going to bite them in the back if they go do that.
Dr. Michael Myers is the author of When Physicians Die by Suicide. Dr. Myers, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me on your program.